But I hope when people think about our church in the future, when they look back and think about Fellowship Baptist Church, I hope that they'll think, hey, that was a church that always preached the gospel. That in every service, that in one way or another, they got the salvation message into the service. I know that they'll think about us as a friendly church, because just about everybody that comes here talks about how friendly you are. But I also hope that they'll know and recognize that we are a giving church. Now, some of you may not realize this as much as I, because as the pastor, I get to see this more often than you do. I mean, I could tell you about a man that came to me right before Christmas and asked about a certain family in our church and said, well, preacher, how are they doing? I said, well, I think they're just getting by. They're not prospering, but their basic needs are being met. And he said, well, I think they should have more than that. And that man went to that family and helped that family at Christmas time. I could tell you about a widower and his family that came to us right before Christmas and said, hey, is there a family in your church that we could buy Christmas presents for? And we directed them to a family in our church. I could tell you about a lady in our church that went to JCPenney's between the holidays and bought the whole clearance rack of coats and sport coats and pants, and then came to church and dressed up some of these guys that needed help. I mean, they were only $3 a piece, but she bought the whole rack, I think 50 different pieces, and she's still passing them out. And I could tell you about a man in our church who heard me preach one time and say, the value of a gift is its worth to the giver, who brought me after that sermon his mother's Bible and said, preacher, this is one of my most precious possessions, and I want you to have it. He said, I want it back when you die. And that was a reasonable request, and I got a piece of paper in it at home to my kids that when I kick the bucket, this Bible goes back to that man. But I can't tell you how much that meant to me to have him give me his mother's Bible to read. And I could go on for the rest of the time that I have, and I could tell you about different people that are givers in this church. And I hope when people look back at Fellowship Baptist Church in the future, they'll not only say that was a gospel preaching church, not only that was a friendly church, but that was a church that knew how to give. The verses that we read from Ephesians chapter 2 talks about a gift. And this morning I speak a short sermon because of the Lord's Supper. I always plan a shorter sermon on Lord's Supper morning. A sermon I've entitled, The Gift of God. And real simply, I want to look at three things from these verses. Number one, I want to look at the giver. Number two, I want to look at the gift. And then number three, I want to look quickly how to get it. You know, we all like to be around people that know how to give. In our family, at Christmas time, we draw names. We didn't this year because of everything that was going on. But in years past, we've drawn names. And nobody in my family wants Aunt Vicky to get their name. We just don't. She gives the weirdest gifts. Everybody hopes that Grandma gets their name, because even though we put a limit on how much money you can spend, my mom ignores it, and she just buys good gifts. And so when we're picking the names out of the hat, we're praying, I hope Mom gets my name. Same thing, I'll just tell you. When I was a kid growing up, on Halloween, there was this one house down the street, and this was before you had to worry about people putting, you know, razor blades and poison in the candy that they passed out. But this one family down the street, they always baked these little, and they baked them, they were hot when they passed them out, little loaves of bread. I mean, just little loaves of bread. And they were warm when they put them in your bag. And so we would always go there first, because they usually ran out before all the trick-or-treaters got there. But those people know how to give at Halloween. And then there was another house. It was, unfortunately, at the other end of the block. They didn't give out the little candy bars. They gave out the king-size candy bars for Halloween. So we went and got our bread first, and then we skipped all the other things to go down and get the king-size candy bar, and then we hit the houses in between. Because we, even as a kid, and you, like to be around people that know how to give. In Ephesians 2:8-9, we meet the giver. The giver is God. And I don't know about you, but when God gives, I want to get in line. When the one that made everything that we see around us, the one that spoke the world into existence, the one that made everything that fills up this world, all the trees and the flowers and the plants and the rivers and the mountain. The one that made all the animals, the omnipotent God. When he gives something, I want to get in line because God knows how to give. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father. And so God is a giver. And God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. And when God gives, you know he's going to give something that's good. And so I don't know about you, but when God's a giver, I want to be in that line. Because I want the gift that God is going to give. It would be like if the Mott Foundation put in an advertisement in the paper tomorrow that said, hey, of all the millions of dollars that we have to pass out in the city of Flint, last year in 2012, we ended up with more money than we had good causes to give to. And because we have to give out a certain amount every year, everybody that comes down to the Citizens Bank, downtown Flint tomorrow, will get a check from us for $1,500. I know where I will be. I know where most of you will be. We would be in that line. I mean, if they're going to give it, well, why shouldn't they give it to us? I mean, we'd go get in the line. Well, our Heavenly Father, our God, has a gift that he wants to give to every single person. A wonderful gift. A priceless gift. A gift that no other one can equate to. He has a gift that he wants to give to every single one of us. And this morning, if you haven't taken it, I want to encourage you, get in line. Get in line. Let me tell you what that gift is. It says in those verses, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. What's the gift? Salvation. Salvation. That's the gift. Now, we hear the word saved, and it conjures up being in danger. It conjures up a scene of needing to be rescued. And so we can picture in our mind a burning building, or we can picture in our mind this little boy down in... Where? Alabama. This little boy that's been kidnapped for the past 5 or 6 days. I mean, when we think of the word saved, we think of being rescued from a dangerous situation. Well, the salvation, the gift of salvation that this verse is talking about is by far the most dangerous situation that any human being will face. This thing that we need to be rescued from is the most terrible fate that awaits any person. The salvation that this verse is talking about, the gift that God wants to give to every single person, is being saved from hell. Is being saved from eternal separation from God. Is being saved from the separation of moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and husbands and wives and children and grandchildren that have gone to heaven. God wants to give us this gift so that we don't have to be separated from him. We don't have to be separated from those that we love that are already in heaven. And we don't have to spend eternity in hell. Because you see, the Bible says that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death, not physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from God. And God says, look, I got a gift for you. I want you to take it, and this gift will guarantee that you get to spend eternity with me. This gift will guarantee that you'll get a home in heaven. This gift will guarantee that you'll never be separated from me again, and you'll never be separated from those that you love that also know me as your Savior. I'm going to tell you this morning, and again, we talked in Sunday school about some of the false teaching that is being taught today. If you don't go to heaven, there is only one other alternative. If you don't go to heaven, you are going to hell. And I know some people might say, preacher, you ought to not say that. I don't say it, this book says it. I'm just telling you what this book says. People today want to take hell out of their preaching. They want to talk about the love of God. And we have a God that loves us. But we also have a God of justice who says you're going to be held accountable for your sins. And the wages of sin is death, to be separated from me forever and ever and ever and ever. So there is a hell. It is a literal place. It is a place of the bottomless pit where the flame dieth not and the worm dieth not, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And a person that leaves this world without receiving the gift that I'm talking about this morning goes straight to hell. There is no second chances. There is no place that people can buy or pray you out of. The person that leaves this world without receiving the gift that I'm talking about this morning goes to hell. So I don't know about you, but I have two good reasons to be in that line. I want to be in that line because God's the giver. And I want to be in that line because if I get this gift, I get to go to heaven. I get to go to heaven. Which brings me to my third and my last point. How do I get it? How do I get this gift? Well, just like any other gift, before you get it, two things have to happen. Number one, somebody's got to give it. And number two, somebody's got to take it. I will tell you this morning, the first part's already been done. God has already given the gift. We read in verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we don't get this gift because we deserve it. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he sent Jesus to die for us." I mean, this gift was not given to us because we're a bunch of good folks. This gift was not given to us because we've turned over a new leaf. This gift was not given to us because we deserved it. We in no way deserved it. That's what grace is getting a gift that we don't deserve. And so that verse says, "For by grace are ye saved." And it was God's riches at Christ's expense. And we are offered this gift as an act of grace. So the gift has already been given us. In 2 Timothy 1:9, the Bible says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but thousands of years before you even thought about coming on the scene in this world, thousands of years before the foundations of the world was ever laid, God looked into the future and he knew you. And he loved you. And he says, "I know that when they're born, they're going to be a sinner. I need to provide a way of salvation. And that way is going to be my son, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world." So the gift, oh, by the way, when we were born, we lived up to the prophecy that God made about us in heaven. We became sinners. Partly because of our genetics, because we had a sinful father who had a sinful father who had a sinful father, tracing it all the way back to Adam. But more than our genetics, by our actions, we became sinners. We faced a situation, we knew the difference between right and wrong, we chose wrong. We faced a situation and knew what God wanted us to do, and we did exactly the opposite. And so, before we were born, before we were conceived, before we even thought about coming on this scene, God had already given the gift. So the first part's been done. Now the second part. How do I take it? How do I take it? Well, this verse points out two ways that people try to take this gift. The first one Doesn't work. Many people try to take it by works. They think they got to do something to pay for this gift. They think they got to do something to get this gift. Now, let me just ask you, if you pay for something, is it a gift? No. It's a purchase. It's a purchase. I mean, if we were able to purchase our salvation, God would be a liar when he says it's a gift. Because if you pay for something, it's not a gift. That verse says, not of works. What God was saying is, nobody can pay for this gift. It's too priceless. What price would you put on the blood, of the precious blood of Jesus Christ? How much silver would it take? How much gold would it take? How much money would it take? More than we have, more than the whole world holds. There's no price that can be put on the blood of Jesus Christ. So people think, and by the way, we talked about this before, this is our human tendency. Nobody gives us something for nothing. I mean, if it does, it's a scam. Somebody wants to give you something for nothing, you better watch out. Except for God. Because it's not a works. There's nothing that we can do to pay for this gift. Well, what's the other alternative then? Faith. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is where I believe God when he said what he did was for me. And faith is by the way by which I claim that gift. Jesus said, you're a sinner. The penalty for that sin is to be separated from me. But I'm going to die in your place. I'm going to pay for your sins. And if you'll trust me and accept my payment for your sins, I will give you that gift of salvation. And so, that's how you take it. Not by works. None of us could work for it and pay the price. None of us. Not the most perfect person in this room. You cannot pay for the gift of salvation. But every single one of us, I don't care what kind of sin we've committed, I don't care what our background is, I don't care what our heritage is, I don't care what our economic standing is, every single person has been dealt a measure of faith. And with that measure of faith, can come and receive that gift that Christ offers to us. Now again, I don't know about you, but if God's given stuff out, I want to be in that line. And I'll just tell you what, I want to be first in that line. Because I know what kind of giver he is. And once I understand what the gift is, it's gift of salvation. Being saved from spiritual death, being saved from hell. That's another reason I want to be first in line. And I tell you what, I understand, like you should, there's nothing that I can do to deserve that gift. It's all an act of grace, getting something that I don't deserve. And just think about it. He's given to every single person enough faith to believe the Bible and enough faith to ask him to save you. So the question is this morning, do you want that gift? God's done everything that needs to be done, even giving you the faith to receive it. All you got to do is take it. Take it. Take it. I've only known of one instance in my whole 61 and half years of a person that refused a gift from another person. Just one. I don't have time to tell you the story. Time's already gone. Just one instance. But I've known hundreds of people that have refused the greatest gift that God's offered them. Please don't be one of them this morning. Please. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you come. And you take that gift. You take it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for that gift. Thank you that we can get it by faith. Thank you that we don't have to earn it. Thank you that the price has already been paid. The debt's already been paid. And all we have to do is come with the faith that you've given to all of us and claim it. And I pray for those that are here. I don't know if it's one. I don't know if it's two. I don't maybe three that are here this morning that have never been a time in their life where they told you they knew where they were a sinner. And they understood that there was a penalty for that sin, and that they were claiming what Christ did on Calvary's cross to pay for that sin. Father, would you, Holy Spirit, would you help them do that right now, right where they sat? Would you help them make that confession of sin and that confession of Christ and say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe the Bible when it says you're a Savior. And right now, I'm asking you to save me, to save me." You promise that if we come to you, you no wise cast us out. And so I pray that every person that needs to come would come. I pray as Christians this morning, because we've had the Lord's Supper, because we've been reminded of that gift, we would rejoice once again in what we have. I pray that you'd bless this time of invitation. Again, if there's somebody here that's never asked Christ, if they need our help, help them to walk down the aisle in just a minute. We'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to us as Christians. If there's something in our life that shouldn't be, convict us of it, Holy Spirit. Help us make some vows to get rid of it. Just bless this time. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.